Emily was really doubting who's going to be safe down there, so whether he's going to do competently do his job. Okay. Okay. The last hour, we talked about, I talked about this general salvation in general. What I'd like to talk about right now here is about the law. It's a kind of general law. Started with the Mosaic law. And then there's other type of law the Bible talks about, and all those things are basically taken care of. So little nuts and bolts about, in the first part, nuts and bolts about how Jewish Christian has a different problems than just Gentile Christians, Gentile believers. Because if you understand Gentiles, Gentiles do not have any law. So all they have to do is, by faith, they become a Christian. And then the salvation was applied to them. But the Jewish people, they had to deal with their law. Because the Mosaic law is covenant. It's promise, binding agreement. So, what's the implication here? So let's look at the background of Mosaic law here. It's a binding agreement. It's about the covenant. When you say it's a Mosaic law, it's a covenant, then it has a rule. One specific rule is a really tough rule. This is Galatians 3:15 here. Galatians 3:15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of the man, though it be but of a man's covenant. Yet, if it be the confirmed, if the covenant is confirmed, no man can disannul it, kind of set aside or stop it, or add it thereto, amend it. So it's basically a covenant is made. It's just chuggling along until it ends. Okay, then problem here is, we have a Jewish people, Jewish race, Jewish people, who are under the law. We all know that. We can have a lot of pages about the Old Testament. It's under the Jewish people. Jewish people are under the law. And now those Jewish people, including Paul, are now Gentiles. I mean, they're going into the new man and becoming the Christian. Then do they have to follow the Mosaic law? That's a really question. Why not? That's the something I want to talk about. Because that is a big deal. Because it's a covenant. Once we set up the covenant, Mosaic covenant, it has to fulfill. You cannot change it. It cannot just continue on. So they have to obey this law. So Paul has to obey this law. There's no ifs and buts about it. So then what happened here? That's what the first part is what I'm going to talk about. And then you'll see that some grace that God puts it on. This curveball God puts it on here is just amazing. And the second part I would like to talk about here is there's some other type of law besides the Mosaic law. I think the Roman talks about, and then they discuss that's related to the believers. So they will talk about that and how that law is taken care of. So let's look at our covenant. The A2, the rules, covenant cannot change or nullify, we just read in Galatians 3:15, requires a guarantee such as a sacrifice blood. So whenever you see covenant, there's somewhere around in the 10, 20 verses, something has been sacrificed. Some blood is shed. Now you've got to read that. Except one, which is the fourth covenant of a Mosaic law, which is God swear. So that's why I just said requires a guarantee such as. But there was exception to it. Fourth covenant of Abraham. Just wasn't no blood there. So, exceptions. And it will be fulfilled sometime. There's no ifs and buts about it. It will be fulfilled. So when Mark talks about assurance, about he said salvation is assured, by the way, the salvation God talks about is also covenant. This is automatically we know, hey, yeah, that will be fulfilled. There's no argument about it. That's what it is, the power of covenant. Mosaic law is a covenant, it is. And it has two elements. We have a Mosaic Law, which is Exodus 24:37. So let's read that one. Exodus 24. Three to seven. It basically tells us about what the covenant, the general rule of a covenant is. And the Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgment, and all the people answered with the one voice and said all the words which the Lord has said we will do. And Moses wrote all the words on the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built the altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent the young men of the children of Israel, which offered a burnt offering. Here goes. Somebody's dying here. Something is dying. And a sacrifice, peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took the half of the blood, and put it on the basins, and the half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of covenant. Here goes. So Mosaic Law is a covenant. And read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. So Israel said, well, we will do your covenant, your law. That's what they were saying here. And another part of a covenant, which does not really revealed here, is I think the Deuteronomy 5, 31 and 33. Wrong direction. Deuteronomy 5. Very similar wording, but there is one more condition. But as for thee, stand out here by me, and I will speak unto thee all the commandments and the statutes and judgments which thou shalt teach them, and that they may be do them in the land which I give them to the possess it. Ye shall observe to therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. So you just follow the law here. And 33 is a key verse I'm looking for. And ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. So fulfillment of the Mosaic Law is they have to be in the land they designated they're supposed to be in. Plus, they will follow Mosaic Law. That's the two conditions. Okay? That's very important to know, because we're going to come back and saying that what happened to this Mosaic Law? Was it fulfilled or not? Because if it's fulfilled, when Jesus Christ came in the first time, in Matthew 5:17, he said, I came here to fulfill the law. I mean, that's a good word. There's nothing wrong with that. did he fulfill at the time of a cross? Or somewhere nearby, so that we can there fulfill, so it's done with. So what I'm saying here is, what I'm just kind of alluding here is, that it's not really fulfilled. This Mosaic Law is not fulfilled. Then, Jewish people still have to be under the law. Because law cannot be changed or nullified. We have a quandary here, isn't it? Are you seeing one? Okay. Okay, purpose of a Mosaic Law. Those two verses will show that its intention is restricting the sin nature. It didn't do a very good job. But it's okay. But it has its own problem. And because it didn't do a very good job, I mean, it's okay. I mean, because that's the way it is designed. And so that it brings out, it sets the standards so that it brings out transgression, the violations about with the sin nature. So Mosaic, Roman 5:13, we'll get this. This is a good verse to look at here. Romans 5:13. Oh, no, that's not one. That's not one. Galatians 3:19. I'm sorry, wrong verse. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then, what's the purpose of law? Is he saying it was added because of a transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hands of mediations. So what it comes down to saying here is, by the law giving makes a standard, because you cannot set a stand, you cannot follow a standard, so now you're transgressing all the time. So it's kind of revealing the sin nature. That's what revealing the transgressors. Okay. I'll give you some example of this. Am I saying the law is bad? No. But law and sin nature put together produces lousy results. Transgressions. Okay? Give you an example of this, someone related to it. I was talking with a Ben on downstairs. He has he's kind of allergic to a couple of stuff. Okay. And then this is one of my favorite doctors. I listened to a podcast from this ICU nurse, ICU doctor from Vanderbilt University. And Katie knows about it. Are you listening to this podcast? Okay. Shame on you. He's an ICU doctor, and he has this podcast, 20 minutes podcast, very short, about different topics, about all kind of stuff, all kind of disease. And he's saying, one of the things interesting things he says about is, it's not the foreign object you ingest is harmful to you. What our body responds to it is harmful to you. That's exactly what our allergic reaction is. I mean, heck, peanut butter, spoon of peanut butter is not going to kill you. You just, get rid of it. Okay? That's all you really need to do. I mean, if you ate a little piece of metal, just get rid of it. By the digestive system, it will come through. That's what happened to peanut butter. But once you have allergic reactions, body attacks because of the peanut butter. So actually, our body is killing ourselves. That's what you can look at it that way. So when he's looking at it, he said, as a doctor, he said, well, one thing I really have to work on here is that give a minimal intervention so that the body does not react. That's what he has to think about, the mode of thought he has to think about. This is exactly the case. It's not the law kills us. Our sin nature reacts to the law, kills us. This is what's happening. That's what the problem of the law is, Mosaic law is. Okay? Characteristic of a Mosaic law. Number one, every portion of the law must be obeyed. Okay? Every portion of the law must be obeyed. Galatians 3:10. And then the Deuteronomy 7:9-10. But Galatians 3:10. I happen to open up Galatians 3:9, so I'm not reading 3:10 here. That for as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, the curse is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you miss a one, you're missing everything. That's what the Mosaic law is. This is just horrible law. I mean, horrible covenant. I mean, how about just half, I didn't totally cross the street, jaywalked across the street. I did half of them. If I cannot do the quarter of them, if I do a quarter of them, I'm guilty of it. Just horrible law. So, it has to, every portion of the law must be obeyed. Number two, I call this one conditional lose-lose law. This is a lose-lose law. The reason I say that here is, when you obey the law, and then according to Deuteronomy 11:26-28, you will read over this. You got very well about the Mosaic law. You've seen enough of this. Obey the law, you're going to be earthly blessings. Philistine is not going to attack you. Your wheat crop is going to be wonderful next year. Well, here is a Terry. The mint crop is going to be wonderful. The future price for the mint is going to be great. Your kid's going to be above the average. And, everything, all those kind of things. I mean, your car doesn't break down, all kind of earthly blessings. However, What do we do when you have earthly blessings? Who's dominating this guy's life? Sin nature is dominating their life. Their source is a sin nature. So yes, you're going to get the above average kid, and you're going to, car is not going to break down, and mint crab is wonderful. It's true. But you're going to be spiritually dead. You see common thing. Joe Goldberg is going to have a spiritual death. There's a lot of provisions. True. Saved people, saved Old Testament, does have Holy Spirit upon them. They had some kind of holy, spiritual connection with these believers. The people who usually is spiritually dead, supposed to be spiritually dead. Okay, disobey the law, same thing. I mean, you can see what the consequence is. And when you disobey the law, it's the earthly penalties and a curse. Which today is a Philistine is going to attack you, your crop is going to be burned, mint harvest is not going to be there, your kid's going to be below average. Okay? However, there is a way out when you disobey the law. And God designed it this way because, He knew the purpose of a law is going to be transgressions. You're going to always violate them. Then he's going to be under curse all the time. Then you're going to have some way out for these people. There was an atonement. A lot of Leviticus in around the four areas. And they're just brutal. I mean, you cannot be ignorant. This four was Leviticus was four was ignorant. If you are ignorant, you cannot be ignorant. If you're ignorant, then you have to do this. Whole nation is ignorant about this, then you have to do this. So when you say the IRS agent that I didn't know about that law, now, that's not an excuse. That's not really an excuse. Okay? I claim that to my boss all the time. It's, I didn't know the policy. I'm sorry. Okay, that's my defense. Oh, there was was there a policy? I didn't know that. Okay. Leviticus 16 is a big deal. Atonement sacrifice. This is the one that procedure, step by step, to make you go to atonement so that they can cover them one more year. This is a big deal. Present problem. Since there is no temple and priest, there's no atonement can be performed. So at the moment, at the place of a temple, at this right now, is the synagogue. What is it? There's a temple of rock or something like that. There's a mosque of rock, and it's a big deal. There's a politically big deal item here. They cannot demolish. Of course, Jewish people want to demolish this thing and build a temple. I'm sure they want to do that. Of course, if you do that, then Muslim gods, go all wild, political thing. So they're not doing any temples. Are they violating the law? Yes, they are. They cannot do the temple law. They are violating the law. Mosaic covenant and the law has not been fulfilled. We talked about that. And so it continues now. So then what happened to Paul? Why does he say, live by grace, not by under Mosaic law? So why does he say that? Okay, number five. All conclusions of the problems with Jewish Christians. Since the Mosaic covenant continues, Jewish people has an obligation to follow Mosaic law. And he continues, Jewish Christians continue to violate Mosaic law. You can see that. Yeah, you can see that because number one, they cannot do the temple sacrifice. They can't do that. Number three, so he can't atonement, so there is no temple, so he cannot cover the curse. So we are in big trouble. These Jewish Christians are in big trouble. Okay? What does God do? Okay, so let's look at God. What does God do? God does. I thought there was a wonderful curveball God throws in here. Okay, let's look at Galatians 3:13. Alright, this is a word, is ek agorazo. Word here is agorazo, which is purchased, ek out from. So, purchased out from. This is the word. And then, you will see that there's a four redemption word, agorazo, purchased. So, basically focus is, God bought you out, so you are my slave. So, do as I tell you. That's usually the context. And you have a lutron, which is a free from, loose from the sin nature, usually. And apolutron, which is totally loose in Christ and in the rapture. That's what usually comes down to. This is the fourth word. It's the ek agora. So usually Allah applied to only to Jewish people. Yeah. So let's read this one. And Christ has redeemed us, ek agora told us, from the curse of the law, being made in a curse for us, for it is written, the curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So, let's talk about this. So, if, hypothetical case, if, Jewish, yeah, we said a Jewish having a lot of problem, number being that they are transgressing all the time, and they don't have a means to do the atonement. Okay? If they have atonement, they'll be okay. Because they pay their penalties. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, who's that atonement? Jesus Christ is that atonement. He's a curse. So he's a penalty. He's paid this penalty. So that means, what? He's going to be set back, the Jewish people will be set back to pre-disobedient state. So Jesus Christ pays this curse. He is a curse. So that's what he does again in the cross work. His death is taking out the curse, pay for this curse. Right? He does even more. Am I going, okay? Are you okay with this? Okay. Even more, even better solution what Jesus Christ does. Even more is that Jewish people are purchased out from the inequality of the law. So I'm interpreting as one part that any part of quality and inequality of the law is Mosaic law, Galatians 4:4-5. But when fullness of the times was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them, ek agorazo them, that were under the law. Them here is a Jewish people, whole Jewish people, that we, Christian Jewish people, including Paul, might receive the son placement. Okay? So now, what it comes down to here is the ek agorazo, taking out whole Jewish people out from under the law. So what happened to the law here? My analogy is this. You have a prison. Warden that goes to the prison all the time. And he's doing the wonderful, this jailers. Well-trained. They have snipers on the towers. Snipers are, guns are all well oiled and doing well. And then there's the guards. Everybody's doing their electricity is on. And the cook is there. Food is still lousy. And what else is the dog? German Shepherd is in the full force. What else is there? You know, the whole spotlight is working. Prisons are wonderful in working order. But there is no prisoners. So because Jesus Christ took out all the Jewish people out from the prisons. Interesting curveball. So, Jewish people are not obligated to follow the Mosaic law. So then, now we are having, then that they are equal to, next step is, this is what they can claim. It's Ephesians 2:11-15. Okay, Ephesians. Let's see. Let's start with 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of a partition between us, having abolished it in the law of a commandment, contained in ordinance for the to make himself of a twain one, so make a peace. So let's see. I was looking for equal. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 or 13. I think I was looking for 12 and 13. Okay, here goes. This talks about new man. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into the one Spirit. So here we go. So now Jewish people are taken out from the Jewish Mosaic law. So now then what? They're exactly equal to Gentiles. Then we can say things like this. You're not white, you're not black, you're not slave, you're not free, you're not male, you're not female, you're exactly the same. Yes, they're exactly the same. Jewish people and the Gentiles are exactly the same under the new man. There's nothing different about this. So, there is peace between them. And this is a big word here, peace. In the sense that I was kind of chasing down kind of website here. We talked about this Afghanistan, Iraq. There's a guy, the soldiers, in the heat, middle of a heat fight, kind of a urban combat. And then they're looking at this in a scope and looking at this intersections. And then, some teenager guy just jumps out. Okay? And it happened to be the guys out there, and he looks at you, turn around, looks at you, and sometimes they shoot these kind of guys, accidental shooting. Okay, this happens in a war zone, and Americans' court will be very frowned upon these kind of situations. The military court will just does he have a legitimate shooting situations? If he doesn't, this guy must go to jail too. By the way, go to probably murder once. But in Israel, with the Palestine, it's another story. And when the Israelites, Israel soldiers at this moment, going into a Gaza Strip, and then have this kind of same situation, and a teenager comes out, or even smaller kids, comes out and look at their corner, and they shoot them. And then that kind of idea about this Jewish people against this Gentiles. I mean, they're against the Palestine, but they all have this Jewish people. This kind of prevalence of a Jewish kind of mentality that we are better than Gentiles. And that's been around the Jewish people all the time. And then now, those kind of hostilities is not existing in new man. So that is because of Jesus Christ's work on the taking out the law. In the mind, there should be Jewish Christians should think we are all equal to the Gentiles. Okay? Because Jesus Christ worked on these things. Jesus Christ paid the curse of Mosaic law, and then number two, it took out the Mosaic laws. Okay? Alright, so this is the extra thing Jesus Christ does in his cross and toward the Jewish Christians. Now, we're looking at this is Romans 6:4, this is 14. Let's look at the Romans 6:14. And then we talked about this, Mosaic law is coming out. Mosaic law is when we purchased out from Jesus Christ. Now, this is another statement here. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin nature, this is talking about, I like to translate this one, sin nature. Sin nature shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under any quality of law, but under grace. Then what kind of law are we talking about here in this one? Okay? There are three types of laws, basically. Number one is a law for, law for basis of living, daily living. Mosaic law of a daily living. Thou shalt not do certain things. My favorite thing, guys, what is my favorite thing, Christina? My favorite commandment? Yes, 6:1, thou shalt obey your parents. It's my favorite commandment. Basis of a daily living. That's what it is. Yeah.
You get to live longer.
There are a lot of other commandments. That's my favorite. It's my heart. And there are other kind of that kind of word, law of a God. That's another one. And so there is a specifically tells you related to the law is related to that what is describing, and that God wants us to live their daily living based on the law. That's one kind. What type of a law? Second type of law I'm talking about is the general principles. Let's look at the, well, you know, 6:23. Romans 6:23. I'll read it to you. The wages of sin is death. Okay. This is, I kind of searched extensively on this. This statement is never found anywhere besides this, by the way. But statement, not exact statement, but concept is well carried out through Old Testament. You can see that. What's the penalty for the commandment? Violating the Mosaic commandment? A lot of them, yes? Death. He goes, what does it say? Wages of sin, transgressing, is physical death. See that? I mean, that kind of concept is carried through all throughout the Bible. So that becomes a kind of general principle. The concept carries through. Now, Roman Paul actually nails it down in the words, saying that for the small wages of sin is death. General principles. Okay? Number three. Third principle is a principle reflecting the source. A good example here is that I don't think you guys do this, but I've heard the main kids do this, college kids do this. Because I won't allow to, probably you won't allow your kids to do this either. College kids overspend in on a credit card, and so, yeah, who gets that? Okay. College kids overspend their stuff, okay, through credit cards. So they have a lot of debt. So now, what do you think next step for this college kid is? Go to parents. That's usually what the source of is. Okay? I mean, I haven't heard it well. A lot of the college kids saying, well, I think I'm going to get an extra job. That's what you would say. General principle of a source. Where do you go to do the job? Okay, where do you go to do the job? If you have some kind of a job you need to do, where is your the energy coming from? Okay, have to think about that. This is what the 6:14 is talking about. The source principle. If one does not practice grace, he will keep go back to sin nature as source of life. Okay? So that's why, honestly, people love laws. I mean, we pass law left and right, up and down, everywhere. Why? Why do we want to pass so many laws? You know, we love laws. Because the law somehow thing is simply generates so that we'll obey to solve that problem. It actually doesn't, by the way. The law is all about you have to have enforcement. If you don't have enforcement, it's kind of worthless. Okay, so let's look at the Romans 6:14 again. Okay, so let's look at them again. So for sin nature will not have a dominating over you. So sin nature will not possess you. Sin nature will not reign over you. Why? Because that you are not under any kind of a source of law, which means that you are not under the sin nature, you are under grace. So you are separating away from, we have a power to separate under sin nature. So that means this is another grace that God, Jesus Christ, pays in doing in salvation. Is that we actually takes out, as we talked about in the last hour, takes out the source, our sin, source of a dominant force, source of our Lord in some sense. We have two Lords, sin nature and Jesus Christ. That's what happens. And where are we gonna go? And we are not under, we don't have to be under sin nature. And this is a salvation. And this thing. And this, we call this one, I don't have thing with me. This is what we call the present tense of sanctification. Is that sanctification is that how do we become holy in our practice? How do we become holy in our practice? Key here is being choosing who your Lord is. Lord is Jesus Christ, not the sin nature. Okay, I got about 10 more minutes. It's about 40 minutes gone, so let's go on to the next one. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Tim. He's watching me out there. We probably will not cover this all tomorrow, so let's cover this one today. Some cover today. Next one, next law we're going to talk about. Covenant we're talking about. We're talking about Mosaic Law and a Mosaic Covenant. And a covenant is really big deal in the sense that it cannot change or it cannot be annulled. And right? And so it has to be fulfill in some time, some event. So it is bad for the Jewish people under Mosaic Law. Because they have to be always under this curse all the time. I mean, you want to be stressed every day. You know, gee, this is really bad. But on the other hand, if the covenant is really good, your promise is really good, then you should be really happy about it. And you should be very assured. Mark talks about it, very assuring about this. Okay? So now, there is a covenant for believers. And then there's three covenants for the believers. Okay? And there's an eternal covenant. And this is some covering eternal covenants. And there is a false covenant of a Mosaic covenant. And it is a third thing, covenant for the grace believer, and we talked about in 1 Corinthians 11. All three of them matches together and interwoven together, and they are consistent with each other. Okay? They're consistent with, they're not contradictory to each other. They're consistent with each other. And then each covenant describes more details about other covenants. Each component in the other covenants. Okay? So, first one, overall, umbrella covenants, I would say is eternal covenant. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. This is 13:20-21. This is Paul's prayer. Okay, Paul's prayer. And then this one gives out. We'll do the little more details in tomorrow. And this gives a couple of interesting aspects. I'd like to bring it out to you. And then we're gonna review it tomorrow morning. Okay, 13:20-21. And the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, thoroughly adjust you in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and forever and amen. A lot of phrases. A lot of phrases. We'll just chop it down, a couple of them, and we'll end. Thoroughly adjust to you. Verse 21. This is a word here I like to say is, we used to say the micromanage, right? And now my son is into this nanoparticles. So I'm going to start saying nanomanage now, okay? This new word started right here. Okay? It's a nanomanage, 10 to the 1/9 here. It's 1,000 times smaller than micro. Nano managing. And what it really here is adjusting is it's adjusting. So you're pushing people into the one corner. For example, if I push somebody into there, they have only way to get out this way. Then I can come out this way. So it's just adjusting person. And then God is going to do that, continue to do that for believers. So end goal, really end goal, here he is, 21. This is a covenant, by the way. This is a covenant. This is what's the importance about a covenant here. End goal, here he is, that in every good works is agathon, and there's an agathon and a kalos. Agathon is inside. You're coming out and happy work. You're doing work, but it's inside the happy. Agathon. Good work, to do. Do is a poino. So it's a poino is a kind of you're doing yourself. So I'm doing this good work, and it's a match up with God's desires. Well, how do we do that? Playing sin nature? Dominating by sin nature? No. You're doing in Christ spiritual life, and you walk in a maturity in desires will, then eventually, in some time, you'll match up with God. And honestly, it's took a while. And by the way, I'm not sure whether I will get to that point. But I will tell you one thing. We'll get there when we get the rapture. The final point, we'll get there. End point. There it goes. Same time. So now where the good work will match with God's desires work, and in you, that the God looks at this thing, our good works, and he's well pleased. All right, that's the way to go, my guy. That's the way to go. Okay. Oh, it's not that you covered it. Okay, I'm happy with this. No. That's the way to go. Yeah. That's what Tim will do, right? That's the way to go. I saw enough of his sermons. Okay, hi, Tim. well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Okay. This is intermediate Jesus Christ. Give you another example. Intermediate agency, Jesus Christ. The I say of the intermediate agency is, Leave It to Beaver examples. Okay, by the way, you guys don't know Leave It to Beavers, right? Do you? It's not Simpsons. I can tell you that one. It's not Simpsons. They are the happiest couple, I mean, happiest family. Okay? And Beaver is a little trouble. June is a wife, and the Ward is father. Okay? A father works, and June is a housetaker. Okay, she's a mother, full time mother. Okay, stay home mom. There we go. Stay home mom. I'm sorry. Here's how stuck my English here is. Okay. Yeah, stay home mom. Home despot. I like that. Home despot. I like that word, home despot. I'll tell you why I say home despot. But I like the home despot better. So let's have some example. So June goes. June took a beaver to the Walmart. Okay. And Beaver was not behaving very well. So Beaver was 5 years old, and he was just kicking and screaming and yelling and all this. And June said, "Stop it, stop it!" And he's just going on and on, just stressed June out in Walmart. And so he says, "This is the end of my shopping." And so she goes out and go home. And Ward comes home, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, something like that. And June says to Ward and saying to him, "Ward, Beaver was very bad today in Walmart. Go spank him, please." Okay? I hate to say this because this is going to be forever. That's what do I say. What I said is forever. Now, go spank him, please. All right? The word goes and spanking the beaver. Okay, now you set up the scenario here. Now, if you are a beaver, okay? If you're a beaver, then who do you need to please? Who do you need to please? Word? Nah, you don't please Word. Word is irrelevant in this case. He's enforcer. That's all he is. Who do you want to please? You want to please June. She's intermediate agent. Okay? She controls. Maybe she might do things. She might spank herself. Maybe. She has every right to do that. Or she can delegate to Word, in this case, say, go, hey, Word, go spank that beaver, please. Okay? But, however, whatever I'm trying to say here is that Jesus Christ has absolute control of a grace believers. He has that right. I'll talk about tomorrow why he has that right and why he's doing this right now. Okay? So now, we talk about a couple of things here. Number one, God will thoroughly manipulate, adjust you. Thoroughly. This is not just adjust you here. It's like I'm adjusting my kids in college. I mean, they're kind of semi having their own life, and I'm just telling them don't do it, not to do it. That's hardly adjustment. We're talking about very close contact, nano adjusting, nano management here. And it is adjusting what? Adjusting very good work, every good work we do. And in that every good work in the sense that it's inside happy. We're going to be happy too while we're doing this work. And that happy work is going to be matched up with the desirous will of God. So God will say, that's the way it goes, okay? That's the way to go. All right. Now I feel really good. Now you're really matching up everything I'm thinking about. We have a capability there. Reason we have a capability is because our mind is fused together with Jesus Christ, by the way. And while we're doing you, and what was it? Good, well, pleasing before the Father. And then now, the method he's going to use here is that he's going to use through Jesus Christ as intermediate agencies. So he's going to control what he's going to do. Jesus Christ is going to control all the aspects of grace believers. All right, so here goes. That's the... Yeah, let's finish. First part of an umbrella of a covenant we deal with. This has happened because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ works on the cross. And a lot of times we say Jesus Christ purchased that curse we talked about in Mosaic Law, or that we purchased the He paid for this by through his physical death and spiritual death. And what I'm thinking about this thing here is the eternal covenant. Is when you have a covenant, how do you confirm the eternal covenant? Eternal covenant has to be confirmed by the blood. So his Jesus Christ's role in the death, having the blood, having the life taken away, is also the guarantee, down payment for this covenant. So this covenant is absolute solid covenant. Just name is covenant, okay? So that itself should be saying, oh my gosh, this is going to end. This is going to have something there in the future. It's going to accomplish in the future. But there is a confirmation of the person who is not the bull, by the way. It's not just a normal human being. This is a guy who is just God is doing this, the confirmation. Just imagine, and he makes this covenant years and years and years and years ago. He sets this thing, even foundation of the world. That's why it's named eternal here. Okay? And then this is for the believers. And then God sets up like this. And then you can see how God thinks how valuable that this work is to him. So, I just want to leave it to you, and this appreciation for the God that we are, I don't want to say this, maybe not. I mean, I have a really impression that just grace believers, am I going to get a feeling that grace believers are jewel of his eyes, or jewel of Christ? And can I say that, Mark? Yeah, I mean, he thinks we are somebody else, actually. And that's the kind of thing that God looks at us and thinks there. But we're hoping that just understanding and appreciating who God is and what ultimate goal is, that we can be assured, number one. And number two, that we have ultimate goal, then we'll choose the right master, Jesus Christ, not sin nature. Okay, let's pray and we can be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this word. And let's just continue to be amazed about your understanding, knowledge, and then your power over and throughout the manifesting into this world. Continue to appreciate your work on us and your Jesus Christ work on his dedication to us. And this is just more than enough to understand. Thanks for this information so we can be appreciated. And we just continue to look into and dedicating and continue thinking about things above and spiritually so that we will have a meet your desires well and grow in Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. And...